I'm Terrence McNally. Welcome to another newly recorded episode of Freeform, A World That Just Might Work. And I'll be joined by investigative reporter Greg Pallast, who I've been talking to about voting problems and voter suppression since 2002. He was on the ground in Florida and Georgia, and we're going to get the latest on the midterms. Greg Pallast is a Puffin Foundation Fellow in investigative reporting, and you can see his work in Rolling Stone, The Guardian, BBC. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which is now a major motion picture. And you can learn more. And Greg puts out a lot of stuff. So you want to go to gregpallast.com, get on his kind of newsletter mailing list, and you'll get reports, God, once or twice a week. Welcome, Greg Pallast, to Freeform, A World That Just Might Work.
Hey, glad to be with you again, Terrence. Though in a way, it's a shame because Here we are again talking about... Well, you said we've now been doing this a decade and a half, talking about America's mockery of democracy.
Exactly. And let me tell listeners that we are recording this interview on Wednesday, December 12th, 2018. Yeah, I looked it up, and the first thing I found in my folder for Greg Pallast was 2002, although I wonder whether it might have been even before that, following the Florida debacle in 2000.
Yes. So back in 2000... I was working for The Guardian and BBC Television, and I discovered that I got a hold of a disc from the computers of Catherine Harris, who was the Secretary of State, the Republican Secretary of State, and the chairwoman of the Bush for President campaign. She's running the campaign for Bush, and she's running the elections for the state. And interestingly, she had removed, according to, and I got the disc of their names, they removed about 58,000 black voters, saying that they were felons, criminals, you know, mother stabbers and father rapers who were not allowed to vote in Florida. I got the list from her office and went through it one by one. And lo and behold, we found exactly zero of these voters were ex-cons. Their only crime was voting while black. George Bush won the presidency, ready for your trivia question, by 537 votes. 537 votes, that's it. Not counting, of course, 58,000 black people who were not allowed to vote because supposedly they were felons.
And not finishing the recount of the Florida vote.
Oh, yeah, that was just one of the things. And we can – and by the way, one of the things is that all those tricks, nothing has changed.
Well, no, specifically even the thing about a Secretary of State running their own campaign – Florida did it again. Well, no, it was Georgia this time.
And,
did it
and with, Kansas. With, so what happened is we had, for example, I was covering for Salon and for Democracy Now! The so-called election in Florida. It was run by the Secretary of State, Brian Kemp.
No, Georgia.
In Georgia. And Brian Kemp, who was running the election as Secretary of State, was also running for governor. Conveniently, once again, he started mowing through the voter rolls and crossing out voters. And I got to tell you, he made Catherine Harris look like Thomas Jefferson in high heels. this guy removed and I had to sue him, by the way. I actually went to federal court and sued Brian Kemp because he was withholding, unlike Catherine Harris, who was too dumb to figure out.
Well, see, they learned something in 16 years, yeah.
Yeah, so what they've learned is hide the information. So I went to federal court to uncover the names of the people he removed from the voter rolls. It was over 500,000. And I hired 4 expert consulting firms, you'll love this, who to determine, to go through the list. Now, here's the thing. You're allowed under, after Florida, they changed the law, which said so that secretaries of state were supposed to keep the voter rolls accurate. Now, that means you're supposed to keep voters on the list, not take them off. But what he did was he took over 500,000 people off, and at least 428,000 were removed because they'd left the state. Hey, they shouldn't be on the voter rolls, or they've left their county. You know, they didn't live in Atlanta anymore. So, of course, you should remove them from the voter rolls. So I got the list, and I then turned it over to the people who know where you live. And just here's the bad news for you, for those listening. There are companies who work for eBay and Amazon and American Express, et cetera, who can tell you where every single American was on Tuesday at 3 p.m. with absolute, utter, total accuracy. So I turned over the list to these guys, and they cranked it through their computers, and they said, we can give you a court affidavit saying that 340,134 voters who supposedly moved and lost their vote, that's a third of a million voters, had never moved from their registration addresses. They were still there. They were disappeared. Interestingly, they were mostly of the non-white persuasion. And that was the election in Georgia, because Stacey Abrams, who was running against Brian Kemp, and you know, people know that Stacey Abrams, I think by now, was the first African-American woman ever nominated by a major party for governor, to run for governor of a state. And so with a third of a million voters knocked off the voter rolls, she lost by just a few thousand votes, supposedly lost. Now, she's, by the way, she never conceded.
I know that, which is another lesson learned since 2000.
Yes.
Let me ask, so that was 304, the consulting firms found that 340,000 of them who had allegedly moved had not.
340,134.
Right. That was out of approximately 500, right?
About 429,000 that were supposedly had moved.
Okay. Now, when they say this supposedly moved, is that also the whole voter purge thing if you haven't voted recently, which
yes.
is one of the scams that they've run in several states?
Well, yeah. Understand that Georgia didn't, and this guy Brian Kemp, who's like the Persian general of Georgia, he didn't invent this purge system. About 30 states, most of them Republican states, use this business of use it or lose it. What it is, if you don't vote, you lose your vote. Now, understand, federal law, what's called the National Voter Registration Act, says right in black letters, you can just read it, says a voter may not lose their registration by choosing not to vote, because in America you can vote and you can also choose not to vote.
Right, that's your choice.
Also, their records are lousy, and so what happens is you end up with voters removed. Like for example, and especially black voters, where they're gerrymandered, so they often are in districts where either, like in John Lewis's congressional district, he runs unopposed. There's no reason to vote in those midterm elections, or they're black people who are swamped. And because of the gerrymandering in an ultra-white district, you know, like Newt Gingrich's old district, you can give it up. And so, people will skip the midterms, especially voters of color, because of this gerrymandering issue. And by the way, voters of color turn out at a higher rate, or what I should say, black voters, not Asians or Hispanic
Latinos,
voters.
Yeah.
But black voters turn out at a rate that's higher than white voters these days in the past decade. And but they turn out, but they don't necessarily get their votes counted. So they show up, and your name's missing from the voter rolls because you're not. And so, like you say, by the way, it's 30 states. And just so you know, I, and this is Greg Palast, have filed lawsuits or filed notice of lawsuits in 25 states. And Georgia was the first one where we actually went to federal court and got the stuff. But I'm working on 24 other states. In Illinois, my co-plaintiff is Jesse Jackson. The Reverend Jackson, and throughout we have Bob, and then in Kansas,
Bob Fitrakis, in Ohio.
Good guess. He's my lawyer in Ohio. We've got a great firm out of New York. So we're suing all these characters, because what you saw in Georgia was the dry run for 2020, and they're using these in all these states. And we're not talking a few votes. We're talking literally several hundred thousand voters removed illegally, wrongly, in dozens of states, and that's just one of their tricks. It's insane.
And let's delve into that one just a little bit more deeply, which is that, okay, so it says in the voting law, federal legislation, that you cannot be removed for lack of a vote.
Oh, yeah. So how do they do
it? But I think they get around it with that postcard, right?
Okay, here's what happens. They say, okay, law says we can't remove people because you didn't vote, but we can remove you if you moved, right? I just said these people moved. So what they said is, not voting was evidence that they may have moved. Okay, they didn't show up, so maybe they moved. So we're going to send them a postcard. Ah, now the postcard is literally, according to our junk mail experts, or they would call themselves direct mail experts,
right.
Direct marketing experts,
right.
Experts said, there's seven rules to get a response on a postcard. These postcards violated all seven rules. And it's like, it's deliberate. They didn't want people to respond.
So just make sure people hear that. So people in the direct marketing, that, I mean, by the way, we all thought that business would disappear. It has not disappeared, direct mail. And so what you're saying is consultants, if you were hired to say, I want a response to this, they would go do this, 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 write this in this print, put this here, use this. And what they do is they look at those rules, flip them exactly so that they make it the most likely to go in the trash bin.
You want to, in fact, the guy who sent out the postcards, Brian Kemp, who's running for governor, right? And he's also, so he's removing people. So he sends junk mail to people. You can, here's how you save your vote. And it's this dense black print, and you got to fold it in seven ways and mail it back. It's insane. People throw it away. Now, when as a candidate for governor, he sent out these big postcards in multiple colors with photos and big letterings. Here's what you do, and you got to register this day, vote this day, da 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 da. So when he wants to get a response,
he knows
it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
And so
I can imagine the picture. Is it on your website of the two of them next to each
it's
other?
Just it's beautiful. Yeah, and so what's happened is we end up, and this is again, it's not just Georgia.
Right.
We're using Georgia as the exemplar, and Georgia is where we know the race for governor was stolen. They use a lot of these tricks in Florida. So they're using all these various gimmicks to stop voters from voting. So what happens is you don't return the postcard, you don't vote. They say, well, you put those two things together, and hey, it means you left the state. Now, why would you do that? First of all, understand this process costs millions. So we went to these experts who said—
The direct mail experts.
The direct mail experts who know where you live. By the way, here's a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret that most people don't know. Besides your Social Security number, you have a personal identification number that follows you throughout life. That's passed from one corporation to another. So they track you, okay? And I said, so is there a better way? They said, yeah, this way is guaranteed to get you almost complete junk. By the way, just so you know, it was 73% inaccurate, the list, or something like that. It was just insane. Because some people do move. 19,000 people we found were dead. But they did leave.
They did move.
But they didn't, by the way, no dead people showed up to vote, no zombies at the voting stations. But anyway, the reason to remove people, there is none.
That's
right. As a Fox News host asked Brian Kemp, believe it or not, this Republican Purgeon general of Georgia, asked, well, do you have to? He says, well, this is within the law. He says, yeah, but does the law require you to remove these people? Now, I should note that this is an African-American reporter who asked him that, who may no longer be at Fox. So, so this is one of the issues. And that's just one thing that they've been doing is purging the voter rolls. And in Florida, for example, they try to purge the voter rolls. Rick Scott, okay, he's the governor. He's also running, and he's running for Senate. And while he's governor, he's challenging voters who he claims are aliens, you know, and the aliens. No, your last name's Hernandez, so you're an alien voter. You're not an American. So he was actually requiring a lot of voters to show up and prove that they're Americans in order to vote. Now, by the way, that's not so easy. Your driver's license, Social Security number. My Swiss investigator has both of those because you have to by law. Not proof of citizenship. In the military. By the way, Chris Kobach, the Republican Secretary of Kansas, had blocked voters from registering because they couldn't prove they were citizens. Two of those people he blocked were officers in the U.S. Air Force stationed in Kansas. Being a member of the military doesn't prove you're a citizen.
Right.
And so you have to find an original birth certificate or that magical white, rich white document called a passport. And so that proves your citizenship. He's making people go to court to prove that they're citizens to vote. This is what they're doing in Florida.
Since we may not circle back to it later, let's check in on Kobach.
Yes.
So Kobach, before we'd ever heard of Kemp, but following Blackwell, who was the Secretary of State in Ohio in 2004
and
did such
an atrocious
and fixed the 2004 election. By the way, the 2004 election, the only election since 1988, the only national presidential popular vote that the Republicans can even claim to have won is 2004. Did you know that? Since 88, they've only won once, and that was it, and it was questionable. So,
very questionable.
Kobach was sort of the leader, the national leader, going from state to state, telling people how to purge and so on. And then Trump makes him head of his voter fraud in
commission. He created
so investigation.
Okay, Chris Kobach of Kansas. If you can't remember the name, just think KKK. Chris Kobach of Kansas. And you'll and by the way, if you watch the film The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, for when I was working with Rolling Stone, I actually flew to Wichita to jump this guy because he wouldn't talk to me. And I got his inside documents showing he was illegally and wrongly removing voters again who had left the state. He had a different way of doing it called cross-check. We'll get to that. But the thing is, Chris Kobach of Kansas was then named by Trump. He's running this whole operation. And he's been showing all the other GOP secretaries of state how to eliminate voters, block voters, et cetera. He was put in charge of an official commission, and he thought he could use this federal power to then force states to begin purging people. The whole thing imploded, and the commission was disbanded, mainly because guys like me were asking freedom of information requests, which, in other words, we have an open government. He tried to keep things secret. And when he found out that we could ask for the information, they closed it up. But careful, they didn't stop all the purging operations in the state. He's still operating that. Plus, a lot of their operations went inside Homeland Security.
Ooh, okay. And but let's just continue the story of Chris Kobach. He was running for governor of now, Kansas, and he lost. He
This is very interesting.
But he went from this pinnacle of the star of Republican voter purge to losing his election. Go ahead.
Yeah, he did lose. You're welcome, Kansas. I was in Wichita. They were showing my film, The Best Democracy Money Could Buy, all over the place. And I really am nonpartisan, but they told the truth on him. It was a very popular film and because it had a lot on
popular Kobach. In Kansas, yes.
Popular in Kansas, I can tell you that. So what happened was is that Kobach, when he's running the election, and in the primary, he's running against the sitting Republican governor. That's kind of hard to do. Well, anyway, the Kobach refused to count 3,000 provisional ballots. That's these kind of, well, we'll get into that, placebo ballots. When you show up, first they purge you from the voter rolls, then they give you this provisional ballot. He refused to count 3,000 ballots from his opponent's area. He refused to count 1,000 absentee ballots because he said the signatures on the outside of the envelope didn't match the registration signatures. By the way, if someone is illegally voting for someone else, you arrest them. You don't just cancel their vote. So what happened was...
And you're talking, by the way, that's in the Republican primary.
So what happened was he didn't count 4,000 of the Republican governor's vote, and then Kobach declared himself winner by 300 votes. So he stole the election. It was so blatant and so bad. Even the governor said, you have violated your oath of office. You have violated Kansas law. You're blocking the vote, but I'm not going to fight it. So he blocked the Republican governor's vote and declared himself victor. But several Republican major figures in the party endorsed the Democrat or endorsed a third party candidate, Greg Orman, so that people were really pissed off. They were also pissed off about something else. So you had Republicans in a solid Republican state who said, we're not voting for Chris Kobach of Kansas because actually, and one, he stole the elections. They're supposed to steal elections from Democrats. Then he stole Republicans. That really pissed off the Republicans. So then what happened is, on top of that, though, people of Kansas were pissed off for something else. He was running this national campaign to remove voters of color everywhere. He writes, while he's Kansas Secretary of State, he writes SB 1070, the driving while brown law in Arizona. He writes a citizenship requirement. In order to register to vote, you have to prove you're a citizen. And again, you had Air Force officers stationed in Kansas at the Air Force base outside Lawrence who couldn't register to vote because, you know,
unless they have a passport.
Because they didn't have that documentation with them.
Yeah.
So he blocked these voters from voting. And he also wrote the laws for Alabama and other states using this so-called citizenship proof nonsense. And the courts threw it out. The courts told him to put these people back on the voter rolls, including the officers from the Air Force. He refused to do it. So he got hit with massive contempt charges. And the people of Kansas said, why are we paying for this guy's massive contempt of court charges? I mean, literally, it was getting into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Normally, by the way, when you're hit with contempt of court and you're an official, you have to pay it personally. You know, it's just like officials can't have the state pay a speeding ticket just because you're in a state car.
Just because you're in office, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he demanded that the state pay his fines for defying a federal court. It really pissed off the people of Kansas. But it also shows you, it's not just about Kobach. Remember, this is Trump's key man,
That's right.
Leading the national campaign to knock off voters, and he particularly used a trick called interstate cross-check.
Right. Hold on one second. I just want to tell people this is Free Forum, a world that just might work. I'm Terrence McNally. I'm speaking with investigative reporter Greg Palast. He and I realize we've been talking about these same issues, these same problems, this same voter suppression since the year 2000. Greg was on the ground in Florida, Georgia, Kansas, all over the country, and he's bringing us up to speed on the latest trickery. And we've only got 8-9 minutes. I do want to put the last few minutes on what people can do. But so what else are the big headlines about the midterms?
So the big headlines about the midterms is that Stacey Abrams said, okay, I recognize that she basically did something that a Democrat's never done. What's revolutionary is not that she's the first black female to run for governor. What's revolutionary is she said they stole the vote. Democrats don't stand up and say they stole the vote. She said before the election was held, they're stealing the vote. Okay, that helped. Oh, by the way, Democrats have always said, if you tell people that the vote's being stolen, they won't vote. They'll be discouraged. She proved the opposite. People came out, jammed the polls. Now, a lot of them were turned away. I was there and filmed. And if you go to gregpalast.com, you'll see a film. If you can get through these 60 seconds without crying, I don't know, you know, then I'll pay for your therapy. But you go to gregpalast.com, you will see Christine. You'll see a woman named Christine, doesn't matter her last name.
But she's 100?
She's 92 years old.
92.
She's been voting at the same voting station for 50 years since the year her cousin was murdered, Martin Luther King. That was her cousin. And she walks in and they said, sorry, you've been purged. Goodbye. Get out of here. Scram, old lady. And she's in this walker. You know, it's like, and her granddaughter is just totally in tears, talking about how, you know, the King family was always over at their household for Sunday dinners. They're still very, you know, still part of the family. And, but she was one voter. I was there with another voter, a guy named Raheem Shabazz. They said he had moved. Yeah, he'd moved down the street. He says, you know, and he said, it's interesting. If I don't pay a parking ticket, they find me. You know, they know how to find me for my tax bills. So how come they can't find me that I moved down the street as a voter? I've put in my forms, you know. So he, once again, he was given a provisional ballot, something called a it's the other gimmick, is that they tell you that if you can't vote, they give you this provisional ballot. You think you vote. It's like a placebo. But they may not count it. And in most cases where it's a tight election, they don't.
Wait a sec. I mean, in California, where the Republicans got so upset because they led in Orange County in a number of districts at the end of the vote counting on election night, but then they lost over the next week or two based on absentee ballots and provisionals, it appeared that absentees and provisionals made a huge difference. And yet you say they're usually not counted. How does that break down?
It depends if you fight for them. And see, the Democrats, some Democrats, and you know, this is interesting. Like in places like New Mexico, where the Democrats wouldn't fight for the provisional ballots, the Green Party stepped in and got Democratic Party ballots saved. You fight over those provisional ballots. This person was wrongly removed, et cetera. In fact, Brian Kemp was smart. He said, "Don't hand out provisional ballots." I have on camera, and Stacey Abrams' lawyers, they're suing the state. By the way, they can actually overturn this election. They're suing the state. I have on camera people who refused provisional ballots. Now, that's a violation of federal law by the thousands and thousands and thousands. Apparently, like 50,000 people refuse provisional ballots. But even if you get them, then you have to fight over them. And also absentee ballots. See, the Republicans in California were trying to stop the absentee ballots from being counted. Most people in California, the vast majority, actually mail in their ballots. And they can play games when you do that. It's very dangerous to go postal with your ballot. Because they can say, oh, the signature doesn't match. Like you left out your middle initial when you registered with your middle initial. They play games like that. And so you have to fight for each of those absentee ballots. People, be very careful when you fill out those
forms.
By
the way, because of all the, you know, emails we were all getting, make sure you check from verified voter and vote riders and so on, I called up. And it turned out that when I made my first call, I was not on the rolls.
Same with me, by the way, in California.
And in California. And I had moved in the last year and made a point of registering. And it turned out there was a space between my Mick and my Nally in in
the way,
you know,
that they
in
the way that they wrote it.
Right.
See, because here's
Because I called and because I said that's me, I was fine and I got my
my
ballot.
By the way, if when you're talking about something real simple, if you go to like in the if you go to gregpalace.com and you put 7 ways to beat the ballot bandits, how to protect your vote. It's like a I call it a ballot condom because you got to protect your ballot. And you know, there's certain things you should do.
Yeah,
always
is,
check
by
your
the way,
registration.
Given the time we've got, let's keep with this.
Okay,
let's
look,
keep
look,
what to do between now and 2020.
And especially in California. By the way, California has some of the worst voting games in America, but it's usually Democrats fighting Democrats. So there's all kinds of games, like provisional ballot games, all this stuff. One, check your registration. I did. You did. We both found out that we were purged or never put on the voter rolls. For some cockamamie reason. So you get back on. Do a second, register online. Do not register on a piece of paper. And if you do get your new driver's license and you fill out that form at the DMV, that form, about an eighth of them are thrown in the garbage. They never get entered. Register online, get that receipt. Three, don't take a provisional ballot if you can avoid it because you know, demand a real ballot. And often it's just being firm. No, no, I deserve a real ballot. They'll say, oh, you're in the wrong precincts. Give me my ballot.
So you're saying that when you go and they tell you you're not on the roll there, that you must be in the wrong precinct, and they say, we'll give you a provisional, you can demand a real ballot
well,
and there's a chance
example,
you'll get it.
In California, at least 100,000 people who are registered in no party preference, that is, they're independent,
right.
wanted to vote in the Democratic primary, which is their right. We're told you have to have a provisional ballot to vote in the Democratic primary because you're not a registered Democrat. That's not true. So you got to be insistent. Though in California, you'll love this game. You can't get a regular Democratic Party ballot. You have to get something called an NPP crossover Democratic Party ballot. And if you don't ask for that specific NPP crossover Democratic Party ballot, two things can happen. They either won't give you the ballot or in a lot of states, they'll give you the ballot, the Democratic Party ballot. Then the Democratic establishment will say, well, wait, you're not a Democrat and you voted on the wrong ballot. They throw your ballot out. We have still have over 750,000 votes never counted by the Secretary of State of California
in the primary
of June 2016 between Hillary and Bernie Sanders. And so we have lots of games there. And there's other things. Try to avoid going postal. Try not to mail in your ballot if you can.
So one thing that I usually do is I get an absentee ballot. I fill it out. I bring it to the polls on election day. Good method or not?
Pretty good method. I like voting on election day. That's a good method if they will then count it, put it through the machine.
If you can see them,
point. Right.
Putting them in.
See, because then if you make any error, what you don't want is that they can always challenge your vote on an absentee for a cockamamie reason. And then it's a fight because there's no federal standard on what is to be counted and not counted. In Los Angeles, you're likely to get your vote counted. And you know, one problem, for example, we had in Los Angeles, it says on the mail-in ballots, your signature. We have a lot of Korean Americans whose signature is in Korean characters, but they registered in English.
English, right?
You had a massive, massive, number of Korean American ballots thrown out in Los Angeles because of this. I mean, the games that could be played, and they're not saying, and that's a vote should only be thrown out if a voter is illegal.
Right, which almost never happens. So we got to bring it to a close. Greg's bestseller, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, is now a movie. You can learn more about that, about his books, but most importantly, about how to protect yourself between now and 2020 at gregpalace.com. Greg, G-R-E-G, Palace, P-A-L-A-S-T, gregpalace.com. And you can read his work at Rolling Stone, Guardian, and the BBC. And you can follow him on Twitter at Greg_Palace. For this conversation and many other interviews, articles, and to join me in pursuit of a world that just might work, go to terrencemcnally.net. That's terrencemcnally.net. Or aworldthatjustmightwork.com. They're the same website. If you want to receive my weekly email announcements telling you who's going to be on, what we're going to talk about, and usually 8 or so pretty relevant articles that flesh out the conversation, sign up at my site or email me at T.E. McNally, T.E. MCNALLY at Mac.com. You can also subscribe and listen to the Freeform podcast on iTunes. You can find years of podcasts at my site or at iTunes. Listen anytime, anywhere. Michael Lewis, Jeremy Scahill, Naomi Klein, Robert Reich, Van Jones, Connie Rice, Greg Boyle. You can also follow me on Twitter at McNally Terrence. Thanks to G, my engineer, Mark Maxwell, and Teddy Andrews in production, and George Vassilopoulos at Progressive Voices. And most of all to you, my listeners, please share this podcast widely. Thank you, Greg Palast. Keep up the good work.